This is MSO News Sports Connection Spotlight Focus with James O'Shea, candidate for Essex County District Attorney. And Attorney O'Shea, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, James, let's just get the obvious big question, volley it over the net for you. Why are you running for district attorney now that John Blodgett has announced his retirement?
This is something that I've been preparing for throughout the course of my professional career, Bill. I've been practicing for 24 years all over the Commonwealth, and this is an office that I know very well. I've been a bar advocate in Lynn during that entire time, representing indigent defendants, and I get to see the inner workings of the court system and what's working and what's not. And what I mean by that is it's a more of a global picture in the Commonwealth, not just Essex County. This is a situation where I've practiced in all different counties, and I've seen all the different policies and procedures. They're almost all like their own little fiefdom in a way. Each of the district attorneys has a different approach. And some of that is based on geography and the nature of the composition of a county. But there are universal things that I think that I can bring to the job, having seen how the different counties approach the different problems that face the district attorney's office. I would take some of the things from Suffolk County and Middlesex County and all the counties that I've been to and implement them here in Essex. So, and like I said before, this is a situation where this job really only comes up once every 20 to 24 years, and this is my opportunity to run for it, so I took it.
Absolutely. Well, tell me more about this, you being inside the courtroom, working in different counties, different jurisdictions. What is it that you like that you could bring, and let's keep it on the positive note. What is it? What are some of the things that you would like to bring to Essex County?
I'll give you a number of them, Bill. I'm glad you asked that question because I've never run for office. I don't talk in sound bites. I like to give specifics instead of generic answers. So I'll tell you exactly what I would do differently. And a lot of people say, "Well, you're taking a shot at John Blodgett's office." That's not true. I know John. John's a friend. We've worked together for more than two decades. I think he's done an admirable job and served with distinction. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things that can't be improved that I've observed in these other counties. And I'll start by giving you these specific examples. One big part of my practice has been immigration law. And what I'm hearing, not only on the trail, but in my own experience in Essex County, is that the immigration treatment of immigrants, rather, and how they interact with the district attorney's office desperately needs to be improved. For example, U visas are not being processed timely enough. Motions for new trial, Padilla versus Kentucky, that has a huge bearing on whether or not immigrant defendants get deported or not, are not being approached with the necessary expediency, which they should be. These are things that I will change on day one. My partner is a super lawyer in immigration. He will come in and we will create an immigration division. On the more practical side, I'll give you an example of something else that I would change that needs to be desperately updated within the Essex system. 2 weeks ago, I was in the Malden Court in Middlesex. I entered my appearance for the first time. And usually when you do that, the DAs don't have anything. The ADAs in the session don't have anything to give you. They tell you that they'll call you or they'll let you know and they'll produce the discovery. And we'll just pick another date. In this instance, the ADA in Middlesex was able to send me, within 10 minutes of me introducing myself, all of the pertinent discovery on the case in a secure file in an email where I had, which was password protected, which I had to create an ID and password so that I could access this information. And in addition to that, they had a recommendation on the file already ready to go. There's no reason we can't do that in Essex, but right now, Essex is way behind the times. Essex County, when you go to get the discovery from them, they give you CDs and DVDs. When they send you emails, they send you PDFs that are not protected. And those documents, although a lot of them are public record, they contain privacy information like phone numbers and dates of birth. In some cases, they even have Social Security numbers. So these are things that are easy to fix, and the updating of the IT in Essex is clearly one of the things that we have to address right away. The other things that I would change include giving more discretion to the district attorneys. One of the biggest problems that we're having, and these statistics are really not debatable, is that we have too many 58A dangerousness hearings being brought in Essex County. And that leads to a disproportionate incarceration of Hispanic and people of color. And we really need to do something about that. In my view, one of the best ways to address the social justice issues in Essex County is to cut down on the number of dangerousness hearings. We are now seeing statistically that there are almost 2-to-1 filings of dangerousness hearings in Essex versus the other counties. In fact, I saw a study recently that said that there were more dangerousness hearings filed just in Lawrence than there were in some whole counties. That's unacceptable. We can do better than that, and we will.
James, maybe let me have you stop and maybe give me a bit more of a background on what your day-to-day life is like in the courtroom or what, the kind of cases you've been handling over the last 25 years, kind of in a general term or so. But you've probably shared some of that with us, so I hope I'm not repeating this. But maybe a little bit more background on your experiences.
Well, you know, everybody, they say, has 15 minutes of fame. So back about 17 years ago, I tried a case on Court TV in Essex that involved a dentist who was charged with manslaughter relative to a cookout that he had at his house. He had mistakenly poured a weed killer product when he thought he was pouring water into an infant's formula for one of his guests. I successfully defended him, and that was covered by Court TV. And so that was probably the biggest high-profile case that I've had in my career. But my day-to-day can take me anywhere from, for example, I was in Chelsea today. I was in Lynn yesterday. I can be in any court, basically in any county in the Commonwealth, and sometimes in multiple courts. I do primarily district court work, but I do also any superior court work, like the case that I just referenced that was covered, that was indicted on a manslaughter charge. So, I mean, I do all different types of motions, but some of the work that I'm most proud of is as a bar advocate. I do work on a reduced fee basis for the indigent in my hometown of Lynn, and it's the only place that I do it because I know the community so well. And it's been extremely rewarding in terms of being able to help people and be a voice for people that otherwise get passed over in society. I've represented basically, Bill, anyone from a billionaire's grandchild down to a homeless person. And I've represented on the immigration side and in the criminal side, people from all races, colors, creeds, sexual preference. I was out in Holyoke earlier this year representing a transgender individual who was having difficulty with adjusting an asylum case in immigration. And she had a very tragic story where she was basically tortured by the cartels in Mexico. And she came to the United States. She led a very tragic life. Her father had killed her mother. And unfortunately, in Mexico, the father was released from prison when this person was of still a tender age of like 13 or 14 and was transitioning. And when the father was released, believe it or not, they gave her back to him. They gave custody of her back to him. He threw her on the street to the cartels and said, you know, I should have killed you when I killed your mother. And this person developed, as you might imagine, an alcohol dependency. The cartels tried to force her into prostitution, and when she refused, they cut off her thumbs. So she came to the United States, had a pending asylum claim, and came to me because, as a result of alcohol dependency, she found herself on the wrong side of the law. When I went and defended that case, I was pleased that the people in that county, out in Holyoke, I think it's Hamden County, they were very quick, once they heard her story, to have the discretion within the district court DAs without having to go to the main office to agree to a disposition, a quick disposition that included a dismissal and no conviction that wouldn't impact her immigration case that was pending at the time. So that's the type of work that I do. Those are the types of cases that I'm most proud of. I do have another civil practice, so I've been to court on civil cases and civil litigation, basically anything that puts you in a courtroom, Bill. But it's true. I'm not a paper lawyer. I'm in court all the time.
You must be. One thing that's been a hot topic now for well over a decade here in Essex County and, of course, beyond is addiction and mental health issues and how it would relate to prosecution, how it relates to law enforcement, and so on. So what can you share with us on that issue in particular?
One of the things that comes up on the campaign trail is you get to see everybody else's stump speeches, and everybody talks about this. And I just kind of, look at that with a slanted eye a little bit, in the sense that I'm saying to myself, they're all talking in theory about all these wonderful things that they want to do about addiction and mental health, and I'm there on the front line. You don't get any better immersion into the problems that we have and our lack of appropriate treatment for people with mental illness and drug addiction than you do in the Lynn District Court as a bar advocate representing these people who have fallen to the disease of addiction or the disease of mental illness. I see that and have seen that every time I'm in Lynn District Court for 24 years. This is a situation where in my administration, and based on my experience and based on my work with people who suffer from addiction and people who suffer from mental illness, we'll be looking for treatment and for programs for people in that situation. My theory, if you will, or my manner of prosecution is going to focus on punishing people who take advantage of the most vulnerable in our society. We'll be looking for the people who just can't be rehabilitated. Those people will be prosecuted to the fullest. The people who prey upon children, the people who prey upon the elderly or animals, people who act in a way to completely serve themselves. People that suffer from addiction and mental health problems need treatment. They don't need incarceration. And frankly, the amount of cases that I see, particularly with people suffering from mental illness, but also people that suffer from addiction, where these people are going to jail and they're in the same place with those other people, those characters, the real bad actors, that's just cruel. And it's really it's something that we have to address and something that I will address.
James, I want to kind of wrap up with maybe one big multi-part question. We've talked on the issues, but maybe share with something with us about how the campaign is going, what's up. We're recording this on Friday to be posted on our website on Monday. And I also want you to know, let people know that there's, of course, a link to your website on our website on this post, and so you can discuss that website if you want. But what else do you want to share with us about the campaign in general?
Well, I'll just tell you this. I think we've got a great deal of momentum. I just recently got a rare endorsement from the Lynn Police Association, and I'm so proud of that because that is a reflection of my ability to work in an adversarial setting with a group that I really admire. Those officers work hard. They do one of the toughest jobs around. I will say this, I've never run for office before. My campaign slogan is experience over politics. My opponent has no experience in practicing law. He is a politician, a state representative who was a chief of police many years ago. So when I say experience, I'm talking about recent and relevant experience. My opponent hasn't been in a courtroom in probably 10 or more years in any capacity, whether it's as a police officer or otherwise, because he was chief of police when he last worked in that capacity. I'm finding that I'm up against the machine, Bill. He has rallied all of these politicians to go to work for him. And I think that it's just a situation where it's been an uphill climb, because I walk into these Democratic committees and all these places, and I'm the outsider. And what I found on the positive side of that is that there are a lot of people that are tired of that. And that's a big part of why I ran. I want to make sure that we have somebody with the relevant experience to take that office, because that office means everything to me. It's been a big part of everything I've done professionally for over two decades. And I can't see it being run by someone who is a figurehead and who just wants to keep the status quo and has no new ideas and doesn't want to do the things that I've explained to you to move the office forward and to address these very serious social justice issues. He doesn't offer on his website any of the answers to frequently asked questions. He doesn't offer on his website any new ideas or any vision for the office that isn't just some sort of ambiguous politician speak. When you ask me a question, I will answer it. I feel like we're building the momentum and we're definitely going to win this campaign. We have a huge amount of support. Whenever we go to parades, whenever we bring people out, it's just been so humbling and overwhelming to see people come to my aid and come to my support, because they know that I can do the job.
James, thank you for your time, and we'll check back hopefully before the election, which is actually coming up very quickly here, right after the primary election, right after Labor Day. So, James O'Shea, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Candidate for Essex County District Attorney James O'Shea with us here on MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us.